Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is LNP 49, Retained Objects After Surgery. Whoops! My name is Pat Iyer, and today I'll be talking with you about some of the liability issues around retained objects. The patient leaves the operating room with a sponge or a clamp or a towel inside. What is the impact on the patient? We've heard stories of the patient's clamp that sets off the metal detector in the airport, but many patients find out about the presence of a retained object as a result of a medical change, such as an infection. That's a risk that affects half of all patients with retained objects. The patient may have a fistula, the perforation of an organ, or a bowel obstruction, depending upon where that object is. Most commonly, what I've seen is the patient is readmitted to the hospital and has to undergo surgery to remove the retained object. How do instruments and sponges get left behind? The greatest risk is an emergency surgery. There's a ninefold risk. With the focus on saving the patient's life, counts of instruments can fall by the wayside. There is a fourfold increased risk when there's an unplanned change in surgery based on new findings or changes in the patient's clinical condition. Obese patients have a higher risk of instruments or sponges being lost in the body. The risk of retained instruments is doubled when more than one surgical team performs surgery at the same time. The risk also increases when there's a greater blood loss during the procedure. There are several patient safety recommendations offered by the American College of Surgeons, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Association of Operating Room Nurses. Recommendations focus on the methods of counting and reconciling discrepancies, the types of sponges used, and the need to thoroughly check the wound before closing and document counts. In my experience, hearing about these cases from attorneys, the surgical counts are always recorded as correct. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services took a stand on this position by announcing it is no longer providing reimbursement for care necessitated by retained surgical instruments. Let's say the patient is fortunate and the retained object is discovered before she is discharged. Not too common, but it can happen. In LNP 48, Valerie Lane discussed the risk management perspective of handling the situation. Independent LNCs and in-house LNCs may be unaware of the steps the facility staff took to investigate the incident. We know the best time for the facility staff to collect information about the adverse event is immediately after the event occurs, and the patient has been stabilized to avoid more harm. Some facilities use techniques called huddles and debriefings. A huddle is a non-punitive, non-judgmental discussion to analyze the way an individual and team performed. It identifies areas requiring improvement. A huddle takes place immediately after the event occurs and the patient is stable. The huddle may result in identifying the need to secure equipment, materials, documents, or other items involved in the incident. A debriefing occurs within 24 to 48 hours after the event. It is a meeting of all of the involved people and their leadership. The goal is to clarify what happened, to determine if there are continued safety risks, and to develop plans to attack the immediate risks. This meeting allows the team to discuss disclosure to the patient and family. They should also determine if the event needs to be reported to an external agency and investigated further with a root cause analysis. You know that regulations and ethical standards require healthcare providers to inform patients of adverse events. The Joint Commission requires that licensed independent practitioners responsible for managing the patient's care, treatment, or services, or his or her designee, inform the patient about unanticipated outcomes of care, treatment, and services. The person is typically the attending physician who makes this disclosure. And you may also know that the American Medical Association has an ethical code that addresses this responsibility. It states that in cases in which a patient suffers significant medical complications that may have resulted from a physician's mistake, the physician is ethically required to inform the patient of all the facts necessary to ensure understanding of what occurred. You may also know that despite the Joint Commission's regulation and the American Medical Association's code, some patients do not find out about an error. We know as LNCs that disclosure does not occur all the time. In fact, we know that one of the reasons patients and families see a plaintiff attorney is because there was an adverse outcome and they want answers. Why don't patients and families get explanations? I have thought about this and I have talked to my clients about this. Physicians and other healthcare professionals often choose to not report patient harm cases because they don't believe they're supposed to. They may have seen adverse events as just part of routine care. The Joint Commission regulation about disclosure has been around since the year 2001. There are other reasons why healthcare providers do not report errors. They have a sense of disbelief that a serious error occurred. They fear punishment. There's productivity demands to keep up with in a busy healthcare environment. They're fearful of being sued. They're uncertain of the clinical outcome of the adverse event, and there may be inadequate reporting systems. There may be no changes after reporting an adverse event. Let's get back to the case of the retained object. These are difficult cases to defend. Retained instruments and sponges during emergency procedures are the most easily defensible cases. Analysis of damages centers around the effects on the patient from the retained instrument or sponge, which can be considerable. During discovery, as an LNC, recommend to the client that he or she obtain procedures for surgical counts. Determine if an incident report was completed. Work with attorney clients to develop questions to ask healthcare providers who were in the operating room at the time. Questions could include, were the packages of sponges counted before surgery to verify the number printed on the outside of the package was correct? Did the surgeon dismiss the incorrect count without re-exploring the wound? Did the nursing staff accept the incorrect count? Was there any sign of breakage of devices after they were removed from the patient? Were non-X-ray detectable sponges used? Were counts performed in an audible manner? When was the count performed in relation to closing the wound? Did the radiologist or the surgeon read the X-ray when the count was incorrect? Make sure that all of the appropriate defendants are involved in the suit. In an interesting case reported in 2016, the plaintiff underwent surgery to remove gallstones. During the surgery, the defendant surgeon had to convert the laparoscopic procedure to an open one. The hospital nurses claimed they counted the sponges three times before the incision was closed. all sponges were allegedly counted and removed. The plaintiff suffered from intermittent abdominal pain for years after surgery. 7 years after the surgery, a CT scan revealed a foreign body in her abdomen. She underwent laparotomy and removal of the sponge. It caused a fistula to develop. The plaintiff alleged the nurses were negligent in leaving behind the sponge. The defendant's surgeon contended he relied on the sponge count from the nurses. The nurses also contended they diligently counted 3 times, and that even if the count was off, the act of trying to count met the standard of care. The plaintiff attorney did not name the radiologist as a defendant. This was the person who read the X-ray. Both defendants pointed blame at the non-party radiology company that reviewed the films after the surgery and failed to detect the sponge. The jury found the nurses and the surgeon not negligent. Suppose you're working on a medical malpractice case involving the operating room. You wonder, is this a viable claim? Do you know how to screen operating room cases for merit? Do you know the roles, responsibilities, and the special language of the operating room? In our online training, you will gain insider information from an OR nurse who will take you behind the OR door into the unique world of the operating room. You will gain confidence in your ability to recognize key operating room safety issues. You will gain credibility with your attorney clients when you're reviewing operating room cases. Learn more about operating room nursing liability by purchasing Deciphering Operating Room Nursing Liability. Use this link, http://lnc.tips/OR. That's http://lnc.tips/OR. You can get a 25% discount on this training by using the code LISTENED in the coupon box during checkout. The code is LISTENED. Thanks for joining me for this version of Ayers Insights, and I will be back with you again with another show in the future.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Ayers' resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.